What's going on, everybody? Happy Thursday, Lies. Happy Wednesday. I'm ahead of myself. A good start. You know, I was really flustered off the top. I mean, the opening, if you're hanging out with us here live on our FTN YouTube page, a terrific intro done by our guy, George. And not going to lie, it kind of threw me off when I saw myself with Tino on there. And it's like, whoa, are we live here? What's going on? So a great start here to Mean Streets here on Game Plus Network. Welcome in. Happy Wednesday. Tomorrow, the Arnold Palmer Invitational gets underway. We got our guy, Brian DeCorti. He's going to jump in and join us here in the next segment. He's going to hang out for a couple segments. We're going to talk about the tournament, take a look at the odds leaders and who he's feeling. Also dive into maybe some props, also some prize pick stuff. I know we've been talking a lot about prize picks here on Mean Streets. We have the free pick tracker over at FTNDaily.com. Use the promo code FTN. They'll match your first deposit 100% up to $100. Man, Brian is absolutely killing it. Of course, we know that he had the nomination for the Golf Writer of the Year, FSWA. Last week, he took down 10K in a showdown lineup led by Tommy Fleetwood. So he has been absolutely crushing it. Hot fire. I'm super, super impressed. I know he had a great year last year, too. But to sit here before we even have a major, guy's winning outrights. He's winning showdowns. So I'm super jacked to talk to him about who he's feeling and why he does not like Rory McIlroy, my guy George, a big Rory fan here. So we'll get into that in a little bit. We have eight games on the hard court. We're going to pick on the LA Lakers a little bit from last night as well, even though Tino did get them on the spread. Just another disappointing performance. If you're a Lakers fan, you have to be sitting there wondering what the heck is going on with this team. What is going to happen? How are they going to change things up? This is what they got to roll with. They were quiet at the trade deadline, but man, they haven't won back-to-back games in over 20 games. They lost again last night, and again, LeBron can only do so much. He needs a little bit of help. I was watching Russell Westbrook yesterday. I don't know, man. The guy just does not look good. It could be a confidence thing. He's jacking up shots, air balls, bricks, and he's really feeling it from Laker Nation. They were all over him yesterday. We'll get into that. Talk about the three stars in the association. Tino has some picks as well. Five games in the NHL. We're going to talk about the three stars from yesterday and then turn our attention to those five games with some picks and some shot props. We finished strong in February. I was happy about that. And then a great start to March. You know, we didn't get Carolina, which really did burn me. We left a lot of units on the table. We had the Hurricanes win in six. We had them. I don't think we had them in the puck line, but we definitely had them in some parlays, some team goals. They just didn't get it done for us yesterday, unfortunately. But we went 4-for-4 on the shot prop, so hopefully we can continue that sort of success. I've seen some green screens, some screenshots, and that just, I mean, it melts my heart. I love it. That's why we're here, to try to provide a bit of a distraction from the real world with a little bit of sports talk, some fantasy talk, and hopefully win you guys a few bucks along the way, right? Hopefully we'll be able to do that in golf, NBA, and NHL today as well. So again, the Oilers won yesterday. We had the over between the Blue Jackets and the Devils. Got a little crazy when it came to the Sharks. It had like 0.25 units on them to win, like plus 220. I just felt like maybe they would get it done last night. They tied it up. It was 1-1. At one point in the game, but Vegas did take over. But the shot props are pretty solid, and we'll try to continue that success moving forward here today. Let's start with the stat of the day, and this has nothing to do with the NHL. We're not going to talk baseball here today or NBA as well. Jeff Ratcliffe has his rookie rankings live for free to check out over at FTNFantasy.com. So we do have Treylon Burks, a bit of a stat of the day here. Of course, all the super sharp graphics is done by our guy, George. You guys know this by now, hanging out here on Mean Streets and Game Plus Network. 41% team receiving yardage share is the third most by an SEC wide receiver over the past five seasons. So a bit of a spoiler alert here for Ratcliffe and his rankings. I don't want to give everything away, but his number one rookie is Burks from Arkansas. And this is the quote that he has, just a bit of a piece from the article. It says, big and fast, Burks has the intangibles that you look for in a fantasy wideout. Looks the part of an X receiver, though he can primarily play in the slot, is where he really, that's where he played in college. And his player comp for Burks is Alshon Jeffrey. So number two and number three are running backs. I'll give you the top three wide receivers: Garrett Wilson out of Ohio State, and then Drake London out of USC. We'll start to dive into these rookie wide receivers, certainly when they get drafted, and the fantasy appeal when it comes to some of these guys. But most mocks I see, and we will have some mocks, and we'll talk about some of the mocks. I follow college football, but you don't want to get mock advice from me. I'm just guessing. I'm making trades. This team moves up. This team moves back. Eagles swap three first for Russell Wilson. Jokes. But we will have some mock content over at FTNFantasy.com, led by Jeff Ratcliffe. And I know he crushed it last year with his mock draft. So check out the article. It's pretty cool. A lot of nice little tidbits there. Some love to a lot of guys. And he goes pretty deep. He is, he's looking at basically all the rookies here. He is ranked 134 of them. he went deep on 50, the top 50. He has some insight on the top 50 rookies. So that article is live and it's free over at ftnfantasy.com. Yes, we got the new camera here. We are rolling up. What is happening here today? I'm excited. Daniel H. in the house. Killer night last night, but Carolina really did get the best of us. I think I might have to stay away from Detroit. They're one of those teams, kind of like Ottawa, even though the Sens lost last night to Tampa. They started off 2-0. But Detroit's one of those teams. They've been hanging around. They've been playing really good 5-on-5 hockey. I just felt at the end of the day, the Hurricanes should have won that game. And they took the lead with a couple minutes left, and then they blew it. And Dylan Larkin continued to get it done. We got DeCorte, who is a Red Wings guy. He's in here next. We're going to talk a little golf. Keep her locked. Welcome back into Mean Streets here live on Game Plus Network as we bring in the PGA GOAT, Axis_DFS, Brian DeCorte. Dude, I know you were hanging out here in the chat live in the first block. We love that. And I know we talked Red Wings, I think, a couple episodes ago. We talked loosely about Detroit. But, man, you know what? If you're a Wings fan, I know that you had a lot of success early on. Like, I say early on. I guess early on in your life. Growing up, I suppose, in the 90s, the mid to late 90s, even early 2000s. But this is a team led by Stevie Y who's quickly going to turn things around, man. They played competitive all year, and I think one of the most underrated players in the NHL is Dylan Larkin. I just wanted to start with a little hockey talk for you.
Yeah, I haven't been following as closely. I am immersed and locked into my little golf corner, but I do follow. I try to watch as much as possible still, but I was definitely spoiled growing up. I was born in 88, so I've lived through my childhood was full of wonderful memories of and some heartbreak, but Then they started getting it rolling, got some cups. So yeah, it's nice to see them. They're entertaining this year for me, at least. Like, it's been it was a little dark times before, but I look at the standings still and they're like -34 goal differential, but I can watch now. Like, they score, it's fun. I can't say that was the case these last previous years. So, they stuck with Blashill, they brought Yzerman in, and I'm ready for another a playoff berth in the near future.
In the near future, yes. Man, credit to you and the rest of the golf team. You guys are doing some fantastic stuff over at FTN, daily FTN bets. We'll get into the odds and who you're feeling this weekend, but I wanted to give you some love here off the top for, what is this? How many showdowns have you taken down already this year? I don't think this is your first. This is like your second.
This is the second big one, yeah. So the showdown, like we write about it in our articles each week, that if you have an edge, if you think you have an edge in golf in general, you should be playing as many slates as possible, right? So it can be a grind, obviously, the ups and downs of golf, the swings of golf, if you will, a couple out of bounds or bad shots kind of kill you, but like, you can use that to your advantage, right? Like, last week was a great example. Like, Louis Oosthuizen, a lot of people used him. He shot 5-6 over in round one. He came back and fired a 29 on his back nine to end it and make the cut. And like, if you had used him in showdown, nobody was back on him after firing plus six. So, if you have a short memory, you understand how golf works and that stuff happens, there's money to be made.
How key is recency bias in DFS?
Oh, it's wild.
Right?
I mean, it's hard to forget, right? Like, I even have to tell myself sometimes, like, forget what you just saw. Things happen. No one's perfect. Like, sometimes you just got to get back on the horse and fire again.
And you're clearly finding an edge when it comes to these showdown, you know, I mean, the strategy article that you have and some of the picks. So, again, I encourage everybody, if you're just on the fence here with the PGA package, you can get a monthly package hangout, you know, for four tournaments, see exactly what the guys have to offer and look at some of the projections, some of the tools, some of the articles, all the content. And if you have the betting package, you guys know, not only do you get the NHL NBA picks, but you get the PGA picks and all the sports that we do have to offer. So let's get after it and take a look at just the top of the board when it comes to some of the odds here. This is from DraftKings, but giving some love to our prop shop, free over at ftnbets.com to get the best possible odds. No surprise to see Rom here on the board. We got George's guy, Rory. I'm surprised, George, when you made this graphic. I mean, it looks awesome, obviously, but you got Rory on it. So, you know, you talk about curses all the time. So you put your guy on there. So he's got no shot in hell this weekend. Scottie Scheffler there at 16-1. Hovland at 18. We got Fitzpatrick at 20. Down the list, we got, I love Willie, man, at 25-1. I seem to talk about him every single week, and then Leishman in there at 28-1. We do have some interesting names outside of this as well. I want you to start with your picks, but George wants you to start with why you don't like Rory. Let's just start right there, actually, with Rory. Is it just a 10-1 thing? I mean, we're trying to find some value here on the board. What do you think overall about Rory's game, and what do you expect from him this weekend?
Yeah, it's just a numbers thing, and his course history is, and popularity drives his number. It's hard for me to ever get to a number modeling Rory just because his popularity. Ricky Fowler was that way for so long. Like, it just didn't match. Not to compare their abilities. And I love Rory. I really hope, I'm actually hoping he just bottles up his greatness, just save it for Augusta, just get the green jacket, get it over with, you know, get that career grand slam.
I'd love to see
I mean,
see
he's
that.
Played extremely well here. It's really just the number. I do have something later that might make George a little happier when we get to some of the prize pick stuff involving Rory, but I just couldn't simply get to the 10-1.
Yeah, that's fair. So who are you feeling here? And I know odds have changed, and I always say this about the package. You know, you have the betting package. If you follow FTN alerts, you get notified right away. And you guys are so great in the Discord. Hey, I mean, you jump on it early. This is going to change. There's some value here with certain guys. So who do you like as maybe a couple outright winners?
So the first one we'll touch on is Victor Hovland, 18-1 at DraftKings Sportsbook when I got that. And, you know, he hasn't finished all that well here. He's made the cut in the three times he's been here, but they've all been like 40th place finishes. And sometimes that's hard for people to get over. And especially when you look at an 18-1 number, but there's just so many occurrences. Like, we always remember the good course history, but we don't remember some of the guys who finally make the turn on that. And like, that's just a sample size of 12 rounds. So he's playing perhaps better golf than he's ever played in his young career. The ball striking should fit, you know, Bay Hill, narrow fairways, penal rough. Hovland's longer than normal, and he's more accurate than usual, especially for a guy who puts the ball out there that far. Playing from the fairway and the distance will be key this week. A lot of long irons. He's solid there. Like, if he can just not kill himself around the green, he'll be there. Like, just, you know, you don't have to be chipping in, you know, just give yourself short putts to clean up some pars. That's really where he can get himself in trouble. But overall, it's hard not to like he's won three times worldwide dating back to the fall, although one was a little pitch and play event for Tiger. But overall, there's just so much there not to like. I made him a little bit less than the 18-1 number, so I really think I would not be shocked at all. I really feel like he should be playing better at this course than he has.
Yeah, and you really do have to have a short memory. I guess we talked Survivor Pool last time you were on here a couple of times. I'm out, by the way, because I picked him, I think it was the Waste Management Open, where he just had that hiccup.
Yeah.
He had that hiccup, I think it was on the par 5 on 15, where he put two in the drink, right? One off.
Correct.
I think one off the tee, and then after he had the... Yeah, he just hooked it. He had the snowman, which is, you know, I usually have one or two of those every round myself. Oh, yeah. So you want to stay
away. And then he backed it up with the fourth place at the Genesis Invitational in a field that's better than a lot of the, well, not better, but as good as most of the major fields. So
I think he's fantastic.
Like you said, a short memory. Yeah.
Yeah. I think he's a phenomenal golfer, right? He's been, I mean, his game has been on point. It was just one little hiccup there on that, I guess it was on the Friday, that made him miss the cut there. Let's bring that board back up again. So is there, I know we have this conversation all the time. You're fine with 18 to 1. Is there a moment where if he got to 15, I know we're less than 24 hours here away now, but if he were to get to 15, would you shy away, or are you just thinking like, hey, I think that this guy's going to win, and if he wins, 15 is still pretty good outcome?
You know, outrights are I treat them slightly different. Although I'm very much a numbers guy, if it got to 15, I probably would not have bet it if that was the opening. And although there's so much variability and a little luck that you need to win a golf tournament, where like if you're making what I would determine to be a negative expected value wager on an outright, like a 15 to 1, if I made him 15 and a half or 16, like it's not the end of the world. Because of all, I understand all the extra stuff that has to go your way to win a golf tournament. Now, I would not do that for top 40s, top 20s, head to heads. Like if those lines move and I no longer show value, I just plan out ignore it. But like if a guy opens at 30 and I'm tempted and he drops to like 27, 28 and it's right where I made him, I still might fire on it if I really do think he's a solid fit for what I'm looking at on a particular week.
So what about Fitzpatrick? You see the board there at 20 to 1, but some other spots I'm seeing him at 30 to 1. BetMGM has him at 25. This is a guy, I mean, sneak peek, I've read some of your stuff. I see some of your bets. I think you're interested.
Yeah, so I grabbed him at 29 to 1. I did see there's a 30 out there. Like the 20, it would be a no-go for me. And so he's a guy who, unlike Hovland, Fitzpatrick actually has had decent success at this course. Three straight top 10 finishes here. He got a second back in 2019. He goes about gaining off the tee differently. He's not a super short hitter, but he's not long at all. Just pounds those fairways. He's playing from the fairway a lot. Giving himself solid looks with his irons, which is good because he's not the best iron player in the world. Although the two times we've seen him with strokes gained data this year, he's gained over a stroke in each round. He's a world-class putter, maybe one of the best in the world, probably is one of the best in the world on a long-term scale, which is, you know, a lot of people don't back those guys. They like to bet the ball strikers who don't putt and you cross your fingers. Well, It's very nice to not stress as much when you got a guy over a 6-7 footer like Matthew Fitzpatrick, who you can count on making it more often than not. So if he can keep the irons kind of where we've seen them, I don't expect necessarily another over a stroke per round, but even just better than his career average, I believe he will put himself in a great position to contend here once again.
Awesome. I know you have some prize pick stuff. We'll break in a moment and get to that. But if you're looking for a long shot, are you shaking your head? Yeah, let's see maybe potential long shot. It could be maybe if there's another prop you like as a top 40 or anything like that. Is there, I know you've already done the podcast, you've rent through basically a lot already, but is there a long shot that you can share, like that we can put a little sprinkle on?
Yeah, so Cameron Young opened at 100 to 1. I think he moved to 80. But so the hesitancy there is this is his seventh straight week playing. However, he's been playing really solid golf. He played well last week, finished T16 at a course that, you know, it can reward distance, but not quite like Bay Hill can. We saw him finish second place to Neiman at the Genesis Invitational, which I would perhaps put this course more in line with that than obviously with PGA National. So Cameron Young is another guy who the concern would be the fatigue. However, it's hard to quantify. So I did bump my expectation a little bit and still loved the 100 to 1. And even if you can still find an 80. So he's a guy who played Korn Ferry Tour last year, but he's had a nice string of events here, handful of top 20s. Like I said, the T2nd at the Genesis was awesome to see. He's great off the tee. You know, hopefully he's got a little Hovland in him. Hopefully he can maneuver around the green enough to keep himself in position.
Love it. We got Daniel H here. Cam Young on the radar for a top 20, 30, or 40 for me. Took the 40 already at plus money, which was a free bet yesterday, and I just assumed you were the one behind that free bet.
Yes. I was.
You were. All right, we'll take a quick break. You got some Prize Picks stuff for us as well. As I always say on the show, I mean, Prize Picks offers absolutely everything, a simple over or under on a player's prop. You got some first round stuff for us as well. So hang on. We're going to continue the golf talk here on Mean Streets. Keep her locked. Chris Meanian, Axis_DFS. It's Brian DeCorte joining us here. We are talking Arnold Palmer Invitational. I always have to say that pretty slowly, man. I always trip up on the Arnold. It is a tongue twister. We did have a graphic we didn't bring up in the last thing, but let's bring it up because we give a little bit of love to our guy, George. You've already went into some of these guys already, but maybe, you know, people are hanging out watching Game Plus on mute. I don't know why you'd be watching it on mute. You got to hear Brian's his hot takes, but just in case, you never know. You know, get the kids hanging around in the house and it's tough to hear. You look at the TV, you see the glance and you see the outright winners right there from Brian DeCorte. I'm surprised that DK has Fitzpatrick at 20. Like we said, I mean, 29 is a good price. BetMGM 25 and then Caesars at 30-1 as well. So you're covering it all, man. You got the showdown stuff, you got the outrights, you got top 40, you got some props, things that you'll have throughout the tournament as well. But Prize Picks. Let's get into Prize Picks. A lot of people have had some success with this. We're looking at what, round one here? You got a couple guys in your radar that you like for the first round?
Yeah, so Prize Picks, golf used to be really tough there. They recently changed the rules to fit more of how they do all their other sports. So you used to have to pick an over and an under for golf, which when they're setting the lines can be very difficult to find one or the other. Depending on weather, like certain weather, it's like, well, I don't want to take any of these guys under. So it was very tough. Recently at Riviera, I believe they switched and said, nope, you know what? We'll let it like our other sports. So you can do all overs if you want, all unders. They throttle the odds depending on what action they're getting, I assume, like a sports book. But yeah, so this week they are offering scores on hole 16, which is a par 5. And the pick I went with to start was Billy Horschel under 4.5 and Hideki Matsuyama under 4.5. And it's a pretty easy hole. It's one of the easier holes on tour most years as far as relative scoring to par. I picked these two in particular. I went back through their whole career, but in general, I looked the last 2 years. Billy has made birdie or better on this 7 out of his last 10 attempts. Hideki was 9 of his last 12 attempts. So these guys are getting longer and longer. It's easier and easier for them to not completely miss the ball on drives. And they almost all have, you know, relatively shorter irons into this par 5. You avoid the right side. And even from there, I've seen guys make birdie from that bunker on the right side. And it's just a really easy hole. And this is for George, too. They did not have Rory McIlroy in their player pool to start. I saw that this morning he was added, so I went and looked, and Rory has birdied this hole 11 out of the last 14 times he's played it, so I think we might have to open Prize Picks back up and might be making another pick or two, including Mr. McIlroy.
Oh, baby. Yeah, George is liking that one for sure. You're not just buttering him up a little bit.
No.
He says, not at all. And again, if you are just new to Prize Picks, guys, you know, you have the power play where you have to go perfect. You know, you gave the two plays a power play there. That would pay out 2-1. And then if you wanted to add some more and wanted to go the flex play route, you go 3-for-4, 4-for-5, 2-for-3. You're still going to earn a profit. So you kind of cover yourself a little bit. That's what I like. And you can mix and match across all the sports, right? So you can take a couple golf plays here from Brian, or you can take a couple, you know, put in a couple hockey players or a couple NBA plays, and away you go. Did you see the question there in the chat about Hatton? Explain why nobody is talking about Hothead Hatton.
I honestly don't know. I mean, I didn't pull the trigger on his odds. However, if you're looking at like a DraftKings, I feel like that's a perfect place that you could start a lineup. I think he's 9,200, if I'm recalling correctly. I mean, we've seen him win here. He's played pretty well here overall. He hasn't missed a cut here before, has another T5. He's just very steady. He's one of the few that habitually gains strokes across all four categories, which is, you know, kind of rare. Like, he's not necessarily elite at any one particular skill, but you don't need to be if you're very good at all of them. I mean, that's kind of how Patrick Reed got by for so long until he went to PXG clubs and whatever else he's up to in his own little bubble. But I like Hatton quite a bit, and he's been playing well too. Even if you go look at his recent starts over in Europe, 4th, 6th, and 9th in Tiger's little fun event at the early December there. So I like Tyrrell Hatton a lot this week.
You just mentioned DraftKings. Is there Is there some any bad chalk? Or I know Paul Casey. Everyone seems to talk Paul Casey. Is that good chalk? Or do you expect him to be chalky? Or is there anybody that you wanted to throw out as maybe an underrated DFS play?
I play Casey a lot, and I normally eat the chalk just due to his consistency. It does get a little sketchy. I normally don't like playing guys super high owned, and he has a good history here, so he could get into that zone of potential fade just as a leverage play. But sometimes it's hard when I think someone is a great fit and they're playing relatively well. And then the other weird one would be John Rahm at 11.4K because he hasn't played here. People don't like right. that. People didn't like Cantlay at Waste Management Phoenix Open, and he finished second because he'd never seen the course. Like, it blows my mind. Like, these guys are elite, and John Rahm can play just about anywhere, and then you drop him at a course where ball striking makes up 60% of the top 50 scores here the last 5 years, and it just blows my mind that people would be – because Rory's right there at 11-1, so it's very tough. Because I'm not the best at projecting the ownership. I rely on Kyle and Alex Blickle to handle that.
Who crush it? They do a really yes. good job at that. Yeah.
But like if John Rahm's gonna be not that owned, like I don't know if you're playing GPPs, I don't know how you wouldn't make a couple, including John right. Rahm.
Yeah, we'll get you out of here on this. Phil Mickelson. Does this guy play on the PGA Tour again? That's all I want to say. I don't want to get into some of the nonsense, but do you think we will see him again on the PGA Tour? Because I don't
maybe
think
not anytime
we will.
Soon, but maybe the majors, I think. I think the majors have been very quiet, and they're not directly affiliated with PGA Tour. The PGA Tour doesn't run any of the four golf majors. So, you know, Augusta National, that's a lifetime invite for winning it. So realistically, they could take it back. Like, they don't have to invite you. I would guess that's the next time we see Phil tee it up would be there. And then he won the PGA. So he's got a 5-year exemption into all the other majors. So
that's right.
I think that's where you could see him. If he's smart, he's probably going to just lay low until then anyway.
Yeah, I think so. I don't know if we see him this year. But you bring up a good point about the majors. Potentially we will. He has said that he is going to lay low, and I think that's probably the best for now. Brian, man, appreciate it, dude. This is awesome. Always love chopping it up. Always learn a thing or two when it comes to golf with you. Again, I encourage everybody to check out ftn@daily.com, ftnbets.com. Again, the betting package, everything is included there. Brian's got a bunch of props. He'll have picks throughout the weekend. And from the daily standpoint, I mean, you mentioned just Blickle and Kyle, but there's a great team of guys who are pumping out content, trying to help you guys win a little bit of cash, and you guys have been super successful, and I've seen a lot of our subs ride the coattails as well, and we love it, man. Good luck this weekend. We'll chop it up again soon. Tino's in here next. We're going to turn our attention to the NBA. We're going to pick on the LA Lakers just a little bit, even though Tino was on them last night. Keeper Lock, Mean Streets continues on Game Plus Network. Welcome back into Mean Streets here live on Game Plus Network as we bring in Tino Rodriguez _. What were you doing that last second? Sprinkling some money on some golf picks or what?
No, trying to figure out who golfers are. That's on me. I didn't get to throw the graphic up. I don't know who Matthew Fitzpatrick is. Hand up, you know. I got to do better, you know. I'm trying to keep up with the hockey.
Fine.
I gave out the Montreal Canadiens yesterday. I went on a roller coaster ride of a heart attack. They were down 4-0 before puck even dropped. And then all of a sudden they were tied 4-4. And they allowed 4 power play goals in a row. It's just like, I can't keep up. A lot of sports going on. And then we have baseball that isn't going on. So I got to get into golf. I got to get into golf like the rest of the MLB community. I mean, right? I mean, what else is there to do this time of year now?
It does sound like we are going to be having a lot of NHL and NBA on this show over the next month and a half or so. I mean, MLB yesterday, I don't really want to get into it with you. It was pretty disappointing to hear yesterday and, you know, talk about games being canceled and stuff like that. But we'll take the week break. We'll get back into MLB after that. We'll have it back. I'm still optimistic. Are you? Where are you at? Your chart? Nowhere near.
So I mean, the next target date, what they pitched last year was like a May 1st start, 140 games. So I guess that's the next timetable. But from all signs, people are worried, man. And I don't blame them. I don't really know where you go from here, right? I don't know what deadline they put in place. They're going to try to meet Thursday, I guess, tomorrow. That's as soon as they can meet, according to the press conferences. I don't know. May 1st, I guess, is the next target date. They're going to try to do things and move forward. But it seemed like they're both being bitter. And I don't know if we're going to get 162 because the MLB said the owners want to get paid or don't want to pay the players for 162 games if they do make it up and the players expect to be compensated for it. So it looks like we're getting less games. And we both know that's not great for the game. So we will see. We will see.
It's not great for the game. Selfishly, it may be good for your Mets and my Angels. A shortened season, keep them healthy, an extra team in the playoffs. Who knows? We'll see. We'll talk baseball. We'll take a break from baseball, and we'll talk about it in a little bit. Let's turn our attention to the association. We have a couple things, the three stars and the Kyle Kuzma board. You want to start with the Kuzma board? Maybe just give him a little bit of love. And our guy George is doing some fantastic stuff with just the stats of the day. So you see the numbers like pre-trade deadline and then post-trade deadline. I mean, this guy, man, what he is doing. I wonder if LeBron's thinking about Kuzma these days.
It's his own fault.
I know it is. I know it is. But maybe he could use a guy like Kuzma here to help him out. Yesterday, he played 34 minutes. He only had the 1-3, but he had 21 points, 9 boards, and 6 assists. He had back-to-back 30-point performances before that, combined for 21 rebounds, 9 assists, and 11 trays. The numbers are phenomenal. You look at the three-point percentage that he has there at 45%, 75 touches per game. I mean, the offense is really kind of running through him, and he's been really good as the Wizards won last night. Anything to add about Kuzma? I mean, he's having a really good season. That's, I mean, from a fantasy standpoint, like Yahoo, I mean, he's been a steal, right? I mean, you got him at around pick 100, and he certainly returned value to this point. I don't know if he really slows down, you know, moving forward. I mean, he's probably not gonna have too many 35, 36 point performances, averaging 17 points in the season, but man, he's contributing right now across all categories. He's got 5 blocks in his last 3 games.
Well, and the biggest thing with him right now, the market has shifted on him dramatically, at least in the player prop market. You can't get him a plus money double-double ever anymore. I mean, he's minus 180, which is insane for someone who isn't a center, right? So and it's one or the other. Either his point total is way too high because he'll go off, or his double-double is just not marketable. We gave that out a ton on this show. I also wanted to do a real-life meme here. The Wolverine meme, when he's looking at the picture frame and insert Kyle Kuzma, and then Wolverine is LeBron. He's looking at the picture. But, I like the Wizards. We were on the Wizards yesterday. We lost to the Hook in terms of the spread. I did have them in parlays on Moneyline, so that they were able to win. But that was just one of the many bad beats yesterday. So the process was there. We're gonna get back into it. I feel good.
Yeah.
I caught a hook. You mentioned it. I got the hook with the Lakers, 5.5. So, you know, give and take.
You talked about bad beats. You had several. Several, but your bat, there was more than one bad beat yesterday between.
So we gave out Isaiah Stewart double-double. He started the game 0-for-7 from the field and finished with 9-9, 9 points and 9 rebounds. Pretty brutal. Wizards didn't cover the 3.5. They won by 3. What else did we have? Oh, we gave out Andrew Wiggins and Andrew Wiggins and Trae Young 3s. They both had 2. They were at 2.5. So, you know, it's great. It's all around good. We also thought Wiggins was going to be out. Then he played, so I felt resurgent. I saw him in the box score. I was like, 2 threes. This has a chance to get there. That was going to be a voided bet. It was a plus money play, too. He did not get another one. So pretty rough. But, again, we ended on a high.
We did.
On a high. So,
that's right.
That's all that matters.
That's key. And in hockey, we already talked about it earlier with Carolina. I know Daniel H is in the house as well, who was on the Hurricanes. We had the Hurricanes to win in 60. They score a goal about 3 minutes left, and then the very next shift, about 12 seconds later, it's tied, and then they lose in overtime. It's like, that was a heartbreaker as well. Yeah. Let's get into the three stars from last night in the association. Carl Anthony Towns, I've really got to give a lot of love to Frank Brank, right? Remember when he came on just after the deadline, and we talked just about some long shot odds. Now, he wasn't saying that he thought the Celtics or the T-Wolves could win the championship, but he thought that there was, you know, some good value on the board when it came to those two teams. So Karl Anthony Towns, the big night yesterday, 39 points, led out all scorers with 39 for the day, chipped in with 9 boards and 3 threes. And for Anthony Towns, big W, right? The Twins are I just call them the Twins, other Minnesota team. The Timberwolves, who beat the Warriors last night, 129-114. They beat the Cavs the night before, right? I mean, we have a lot of respect for the Cavs. They went into Cleveland and won that game. I don't think that they could make any noise, because if they get in, they're probably playing, you know, the Suns or the Warriors, and that would be tough. I mean, they proved last night they can play with them, even though the Warriors weren't at full health. But yeah, they have been playing better basketball. Karl Anthony Towns has been unbelievable. Of course, we know that he won the three-point comp, and he had the dagger last night, one of the daggers last night. And then, again, Frank, when he talked about the Celtics at 50-1, he talked about the defense and how the defense is elite, and it certainly is, and you're starting to see that. This is a team that was trying to really find their footing, I think, over the first couple months of the season. I think this is a team that needs to win on defense. Obviously, Tatum and Brown can give them something offensively, but I love the addition of White. And Tatum had the big game yesterday, 33 points, 8 boards, 7 assists. They're now 16-1 to win the championship. That was only 2 weeks ago when Frank jumped on this show and gave us 50-1, 40-1 in the bet tracker. Most spots, 20. You can still get in at 20-1, but 16-1 in other spots. And then I gave Luka here, even though there were some other performances that were a little bit better than Luka's, but I thought at the end of the game, when it was just kind of him and LeBron was guarding him one-on-one, Luka kind of schooled him. 25-8-5 last night for Doncic. He had a pretty good game. Didn't get to give Spencer Dinwiddie here on this show, but I did have it in the bet tracker, over 10 points, 10.5 points, and over 1.5 threes, and he cleared that as well. He had 9 dimes yesterday, which Jeff Ratcliffe had over 3.5 assists for Dinwiddie. So the market hasn't really adjusted when it comes to Dinwiddie. Here's a couple Lakers statistics. So they came back. I mean, they were down 16. They came back, and they were winning that game at one point.
Early on.
A handful of minutes left, yeah, and then things kind of got out of control. This was from the TNT broadcast last night. So they have lost 14 of 20. They haven't won back-to-back games in over 20 games. They have the second toughest schedule remaining in the NBA, and they're not getting any contributions from anybody. I mean, Dwayne Wade was talking on the broadcast after that it was just a LeBron show, and at this age, he needs a little bit of help, and it wasn't really taking shots to LeBron. He was great again last night. I think he hit 3 trays in a row to get them the lead. And Jamal Crawford was taking shots, though. He's on the broadcast saying, listen, I'll give you guys whatever you want. 20 minutes, 25 minutes, 30 minutes, but I'll tell you, I will go all out and give more effort than 90% of what the Lakers gave that night. And Shaq was all over them as well. I think they get in, but man, they're in trouble.
We talked about it yesterday, didn't we? Days ago, yesterday.
They're in trouble.
Yeah, look, it's not all LeBron. And you saw all the, you know, the visuals of the end of the game there when he's asking for the ball down in the post and then gives, you know, a lackluster effort rebounding and then back on D on the fast break. It's a bad look. It's not all him. And I, at the same time, I do think he's still giving it his all. I think they get in, but the question is it worth it for him, right? Does he sit out? Does he really want to exert all that energy? I mean, based on his press conference yesterday, he said, you know, basically, you're going to have to stomp me out, I believe his quote was, almost verbatim there, that it seems like he's going to give it his all. And hopefully when Anthony Davis comes back, you know, they have a shot. And that's the funny thing about the NBA. We keep talking about it. They're in a great spot in terms of entertaining basketball. And we did get Lakers-Warriors last year in the play-in game. But, you know, even though the Nets are struggling, it's like if those teams are your 8s or 9s or even the 10s in the Lakers case, it's still going to be entertaining basketball. You're still getting some of the top-tier athletes in the game going up against each other. So the Lakers are the Lakers. I don't think they're actual contenders. But I did want to give a shout-out to Frank, who I was also helping with some sports cards recently. I didn't buy the Celtics winning the NBA championship. However, I did take a bet on them at 13-1 to win the East. And so you just said they are 16-1 to win the NBA Finals, 13-1 to win the East. I feel really good about that, and I think I got that at great value now.
Yeah, and you should, actually. I mean, Robert Williams, the way he plays defense, I mean, he's a terrific help defender as well. I love what he's doing, chipping in. Spent way too much time in the Lakers. I want to rush you for your pick. So we'll throw it over to you, and we'll see if we can continue the success after late last night, that victory that you had. So what do you
got? So we'll go from one double-double machine and Robert Williams to another. We're going to take Bobby Portis here, double-double going against the Miami Heat. Last time these teams played, and the only time they played, in Milwaukee this season, Bobby Portis was able to put up some monster numbers. He's coming off back-to-back double-double games in that game in Milwaukee, 19-16. We're talking about a guy who's top 20 in the league and rebounding right now, just about 9.3, I believe, per game. I think the points will be there. He's kind of a big-time player. You know, when things get in prime time, and I think the rebounding will be there. Serge Ibaka now being on the team, he's coming off the bench, but I think his presence might make the rebounds a bit of a struggle at times, but he's going to be there. I mean, he's going to be one or two away at the worst, but I'm going to take my chances and plus money, and I'll pull up the board. I believe he's plus 180 here. A nice little plus money play on a double-double. I'm going back to the well. There was a meme out there about how the Magic were favored against the Pacers, and I felt like it was a real-life look at me on Mean Streets when I took the Pacers against the Magic before they lost by almost 20 against them. I'm like, how are the Pacers not favored in this game? The Magic are terrible. So on and so forth, and they ended up winning. But today is a different day. The Pacers are favored today, and I'm going back to the well. I'm going to make some money back, being that I lost on that last bet, and I'm going back to the Pacers for the same reason I gave when I gave them the last time out. They're just a better team than the Magic. I like what Halliburton's got going. I know, check out Joe Glantz, Dog Day, article that's out there. I know he loves Tyrese Halliburton. He's been on his threes as of late. I don't know about his threes. I love him in terms of double-doubles. But again, the Pacers are great. It's almost even money, and I'll take them money line. And then I'm going to go to the Charlotte Hornets, who are about as inconsistent of a basketball team as you could imagine. They're 30 and 33 on the season, but relatively good against the spread. You know I love my Cleveland Cavaliers, and I'll say my Cleveland Cavaliers because I take them as much as possible. But they have struggled against the Charlotte Hornets. They've won two of the last three against them, but all of these games have been one-possession games, and that's why I'm going to take the three. It's actually gone up to four now. The last two games, three-point win for the Cavs, one-point win for the Cavs, and then the last one in Charlotte, they had to come back to do it. No Darius Garland still. I just see with the inconsistencies of the Hornets, they're either going to win this outright or to be close enough that they cover the four. So the three was great. I loved it at three. I love it even more at four. The Cavs are good at home, but with no Garland, I think LaMelo puts on a show. Both of these teams have been struggling, lost four of the last five equally. I just imagine this being close to playoff teams right now in terms of the East. So I'll take the four there. And, you know, we're going to roll. We're going to roll from the Lakers game. I feel good. I feel it in me. I feel it in me. I'm not addressing it. We're just blocking it all out now. We got a board. I told you, I was like, the board's going to change it up. It's going to change everything up for us.
It's going to change it up. There are no curses here on this show. We're going to prove it to you next. NHL picks here to come on Mean Streets. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to Mean Streets here on Game Plus Network. We're going to switch our attention to the NHL. A couple more segments here. Let's start with some Shaw props. I'm going to lead with Adrian Kempe, who is my favorite Shaw prop guy here on the board. You see Caesars at minus 134. He's got a matchup against the Dallas Stars. For Kempe, you know, he's coming in pretty hot. He's feeling it right now. He has four shots, and three shots in his last three games, and he's cleared in five of his past six. The Kings generate a ton of offense. I mean, they are inside the top three in 5-of-5 shot attempts and shots on goal. About a month and a half ago, management talked about the coaching staff and a couple players came out. I heard Kopitar just driving offense, shooting the puck, and, you know, good things happen when you put pucks on net. And we're seeing that across the board from certain players, particularly Kempe. He's having a really good season, too. 25 goals and 51 games. It's not the best matchup on the board against the Dallas Stars, but he has had some success against Dallas so far this season. He played him on December 9th, and he had a goal on four shots, and he played him earlier in the year as well, earlier in October, where he had three shots on goal. So I'm leading with Kempe, and here are a couple other shot props that I do like. Again, yesterday was good. Hopefully we can continue this success. You know, you guys know I love that top line in Dallas, and I usually take all three, Pavelski, Robertson, and Hintz. And, you know, honestly, just following it, we usually hit two of the three. The Kings, again, a tough spot. They don't give up a lot of rubber. I may not go down that road with all three. I do like Pavelski. I think Robertson could find the back of the net, but I'm going with Rupe Hintz here, who has cleared in three straight and four of his past five. And just because he's on home ice, yes, he's on a little bit of a heater. He went through a moment where he wasn't shooting as much, and it was Pavelski and Robertson taking all those shots. But I like the fact that he is on home ice here. He's averaging 3.1 shots per game on home ice. He got the revenge here at Pavel Buchnevich. You can get this at plus 100. He did have three shots in his last game. He has 12 in his past four games. The Rangers are a really strong team. I mean, led by Igor Shesterkin, but at 5-5, they do give up some rubber. I am buying into the revenge narrative just a little bit. I think you can buy into it more so in the NHL than other sports. In the NFL, you know, you have to have things fall your way. Baseball, you're a pitcher. Sure, if you're a player, a batter, you can get overtaken by the pitcher. Honestly, as a guy who didn't play super super high competitive hockey. I know that you can get up for a game depending on the matchup. And Buchnevich was his first return back to MSG. I'm really feeling him at plus money. Alex Tuck, he hasn't hit over the past couple games, but he's still averaging over 3 shots per game as a Buffalo Sabre. And then Michael Bunting, you can get him at plus money as well inside that same game against the Sabres. And I do think Bunting is the guy that finds the back of the net here tonight as well. So a little plus money play, but we have a few more shot props available over at FTNBets.com. One more segment, about a minute or so. Just going to wrap up a couple of my favorite sides and totals for this evening's 5-game slate. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back in. One more little hockey segment here to wrap up. Only a handful of games. It's tough to get behind some teams with some of the crazy odds here, but this is what I've come up with. A slight upset, I guess, with the Blues. It's basically a pick 'em. I just really like this Blues squad. The Rangers, really strong in goal, led by Shesterkin, as we talk in the last block, but the Blues, 3 lines that could really play. I didn't get Braden Schenn in the last block, but 1.5 shots for him. I really like the chemistry that he's had on that third line with Jordan Kyrou. So I think it's going to be a tight game, maybe low scoring, but I got the edge here to St. Louis. I really like Dallas at home. I just think that they're a really strong home team, 19-7-1 on home ice. Only Colorado has more home wins than Dallas in the Western Conference. So a really strong team. I think it's going to be a fascinating game. I don't like to pick on the Kings, considering they just lost 7-0 the other day. But I'm taking Dallas and the over in Toronto and Buffalo. Just following a trend here, guys. 21 of Toronto's last 26 games, we've seen at least 6 goals. The Leafs are flying offensively. They're not really getting the goaltending. That top line in Buffalo, Tage Thompson has at least 8 shots in back-to-back games. Put him into a parlay. And then the under between the Preds and the Kraken. Don't love unders. I don't like this Seattle offense. I think UC Saros, as long as he's between the pipes, we can get behind the under 5.5. Thanks for taking the time, guys, to hang out. We will be back tomorrow. Have a good one. Cheers.